This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. It's the Mike Francesa Podcast on the BetRivers Network.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to the Mike Francesa Podcast. The Mike Francesa Podcast on the BetRivers Network is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. We have the Masters in the books, and as expected, Scottie Scheffler finished where he always seems to finish these days, on top, as he left the field behind on the back nine and went on to a second green jacket in the last 3 years and his third win in his last four tournaments. When you realize what an incredible role he's on now. He won at Arnie's tournament. He followed that up with a win at the Players. Nobody had done that before. He finished second in the Houston Open. He was a putt away from the playoff. And then he wins the Masters for the second time in 3 years. He is clearly the dominant golfer in the world. And when you have the divided PGA, it's even more dominant, his presence, because of the fact that you don't have the live players around on a weekly basis. So right now, Scott Scheffler is the man. He is dominating the sport on a level we have not seen in quite a while, since the days of Tiger Woods. And he is on a dominant role, but are things going to change dramatically here? It's going to be very interesting because, as we know, he is about to experience fatherhood. He's waiting for the birth of his first child, and we wish he and his family and his wife, obviously, blessings and nothing but the best as that occurs. But how is that going to impact his schedule? He's going to, listen, as anyone knows who has experienced fatherhood and has experienced having kids, in the beginning, it is a unbelievable upheaval to your life. It's going to be an upheaval to his practice schedule. It's going to be an upheaval to the role he's been on. I don't know when he's going to re-enter. We're a month away from the PGA at Valhalla in Louisville. Then you're a month away from the U.S. Open at Pinehurst Number 2 in North Carolina. In between, you have things like, before the PGA, you have the Byron Nelson, you have the Wells Fargo. After that, before the U.S. Open, you have Jack's tournament. So there's plenty of big targets and places to play. How much, when he's going to re-enter, how much time he's going to take off is going to impact golf greatly, because right now he is the star of stars, and at a time when the PGA is really hurting, they need Scottie Scheffler out there. They need him in the worst way, because he is right now clearly in the world's number one. It's not even close. I mean, there's nothing even to discuss. And when you take like John Rahm out of the picture, who would be the second best player in the world, all right, you have impacted things greatly. There's no question about that. So we don't know how he's going to play this. We don't know what kind of schedule he's going to be on, how he's going to impact the PGA. We're going to have to watch and see, but it is going to have clearly an impact on his role that he's on. He's going to be on a different schedule, and we'll see if he can maintain that hot hand. You would think he would play the PGA, but we don't know for sure. We don't know when the baby's going to be born. We don't know what's going on there. So we don't know his schedule yet. We'll have to watch and wait and see how it impacts things. But we know now he went home. He's not going to play this week. He might not play for a couple of weeks. We'll see what happens, but we do wish him well and hope everything turns out just fine. And hopefully it does. And everybody's healthy and happy, and away we go. Now, Where is golf at this present time? It's in a terrible situation. Not only does it need the presence of Scheffler, it needs to come up with a plan to not fight this battle that is going on right now. There needs to be unification. Whether they can reach an agreement and clear things, who knows? I don't know how that's going to work. There's a lot of money involved. There's a lot of people involved. I don't know how it's going to work. There's a lot of hard feelings involved. I mean, you can tell. Listen, you don't have to be, you know, too observant to realize John Rahm was very uncomfortable being in Butler Cabin last night. You can tell that they do not show a lot of the LIV golfers. You never see Phil Mickelson anymore. I mean, granted, he didn't play great, so there was no reason to show him. But, hey, Tiger Woods shot plus 16. We still knew Tiger was there. You saw Phil on 18. You never saw him before that all day. Even Rahm, who's the defending champion, I understand it wasn't his week, but you never saw him. Is that by design? I'm sure it's by design, but that's fine. You would expect them to do that, but it's not good for the game, and neither is it good for the game to have half your stars or a good portion of your stars on another tour. Now, I think the LIV Tour stinks, okay? I've never watched it. I don't like the team concept. I don't like anything about that stuff. I don't like anything about their format, nothing. And I've never watched it, and I'm not watching it. I'm sorry, I've never watched it. Not one time, and I will not watch it. But we're all watching a lot less golf. And when golf doesn't have a field like that, it hurts the sport. Now, there's some really dynamic young players. Oberg, who finished second, is a dynamic young player. And a few, and everyone said, watch him, that he's going to be a star. That was his first major. He played great. I mean, he finished second. He shot 7 under. He made a mistake on 11. You make mistakes. See, what happens at the Masters is this. Everyone talks about moving in the back nine. Well, you have to move in the back nine because it's time to go. If you're behind, if you have a shot, it's time to go. But what happens is when you get aggressive on that golf course, you pay dearly. As Morikawa said, I got greedy. He didn't get greedy. He got aggressive. He had to get aggressive. He got aggressive, and what happened? He put the ball in the water. DeChambeau got aggressive and put the ball in the trees. Okay? What happened is as soon as they stop playing careful golf and have to attack, that course bites back. And you saw everybody just disintegrate. Why? Because of the fact that they tried to make scores. They tried to hit spots, you know, certain spots and attack the course. And when they tried to attack the course attacked back. And all of a sudden you start seeing the boy Åberg in the water at 11. Okay, Morikawa in the water. Homer in the trees on 12, back in the azaleas, loses his ball in the bushes. As soon as you had everybody close, Scheffler just went about his business, went about his business, just like Tiger did in 2019, went about his business, and everyone disintegrated around him. And what happened yesterday, all of a sudden, Scheffler was there playing his game, and next thing you know, no one else was around. Now he's got a 4-stroke lead and he's carrying it home. But golf needs these players. They need Rahm. They need Koepka. They need Dustin Johnson. They need DeChambeau. They need these guys on the tour. They need these guys playing in more than just a couple of tournaments a year. They have to come to some realistic plan of unification if they can't come to peace. At least get the guys' presence here more than we have right now. Because if not, golf is going to continue to suffer. And you know what's going to suffer the worst? Those back-end tournaments. Those other weeks where they have to exist. Listen, they're not going to have trouble at the Masters. They're not going to have trouble at the U.S. Open. They're going to have trouble at the other tournaments. big trouble. And that has got to be rectified. One other thing before we move on from golf, and you saw it, Tiger Woods played really well. The first 2 days he played in terrible conditions. The wind was unbelievable, especially in round two. And he shot one over par for those two rounds. But it showed you the wear and tear, because on Saturday and Sunday, when he finished the tournament, playing in beautiful conditions, he shot plus 15 to finish the tournament at plus 16, the worst showing of his career, because he can't play 3 and 4 days in a row. His body can't do it. He played well, and he can still play well on a given day. As he did in round two, he played really well in terrible conditions. And he shot one over par. But then he went out on beautiful conditions, and he stunk the place up because he was shot. His body had given everything it could give. And he wound up plus 15 the last 2 days. In perfect conditions. Good conditions Saturday, perfect conditions on Sunday. Worst showing of his career. Doesn't matter. It's not a blight on Tiger. Now we know he's not Tiger anymore, but that's what he can give you a round. He can't give you four rounds. It's really what it comes down to. He can't give you 4 rounds on 4 days. His body can't respond. Talk about responding. Respond to the Bet Rivers app because it's new. It's improved. It's always improving. It's always changing. They're always adding things. So as we start to move now into some different territory, like the NBA playoffs, which will be with us starting in a couple of days, and the Stanley Cup playoffs, which will be with us in a couple of days, all right, and everything else going on, go to the Bet Rivers app and get everything you need there, including all the chances to win prizes and get great value, and check it out. So go to the Bet Rivers app, and you won't have to go anywhere else. Now, I'm not going to break down Nick opponent today because we don't know who the Nick opponent is. Congrats to the Knicks for finishing with 50 wins. Congrats to the Knicks for being the 2 seed. Obviously, Milwaukee had to sit there, guys, and they have fallen on very hard times. This is not exactly what they planned. Not exactly what Doc Rivers planned. Not exactly what they planned. But they have to live with the consequences as they start the playoffs. We know that they have these little position games to play, which don't bother me that much. It's not like that playing, you know, it's not like that nonsense thing they have in the beginning of the season. This isn't really offensive in any way, so you just wait and let it happen. And we'll wait till the Knicks have an opponent, whether it's the Sixers or the Heat. Either one can be dangerous, so there's going to be a lot to discuss there. Here's the bottom line. The Knicks have had a great season. Brunson has had an incredible season. He's not going to win the MVP like some Knicks fans want. He's going to get MVP votes. He's going to get all-league votes. He's going to finish probably second-team All-NBA, which is a great accomplishment. He's averaged 31 points a game since Randle went out. He's averaged almost 40 points a game in his last 6 or 7 games. And that's fine. Okay? And he deserves great credit for everything that he's done. Everything. He's become an incredible player. He's, you know, taken it to a level that even guys who have liked him, and I always thought a lot of people didn't like when they got him, they said, oh, get paid too much money. I was like, you're going to love this contract forever. But I never thought he'd be this good. Never thought he'd be this good. I mean, he's been unbelievable. No one ever thought he'd go to this level, but he has gone to this level. And you know what? he's earned every bit of it. He's done everything that you can expect and more. Now, not having Randall is not an enormous detriment for them. I know on the surface that doesn't make a lot of sense, but it does. If you understand what he can do with the rotations and what he can do and what he has done. Here's the thing. And the Knicks are going to begin on Saturday at the Garden. That's going to be the first game. We don't know their opponent yet, so we'll wait to break down the series till we know their opponent. Now, we know they're going to play Saturday, though, at the Garden. Now, they are going to rely heavily. The playoffs are a completely different situation. Completely different. You can almost throw out the regular season because it's going to change radically. The Knicks are going to rely heavily, heavily on Brunson. We know that. But teams are going to go out of their way, especially in critical possessions. And part of winning in the playoffs is being able to get a good shot when you need one on a critical possession. They are going to double-team Brunson. They are going to play him with size. They are going to do everything they can to make it difficult for him to get his points. And if he gets his points, they want him to take a lot of shots to get his points. Okay, they don't want him going 15 for 23. They want him going 15 for 32 or 34. And they don't want him parading to the foul line. Getting to the foul line in the playoffs is enormously critical. And remember, in playoff basketball, you expect your top two guys to score home, away, whether if you play it on the moon, you expect them both to score. Your other scorers, your other players, your 3, 4, 5 guys will play better at home than they do on the road. How much better is the difference maker? The Knicks don't have a legitimate second scorer. It has got to be DiVincenzo, but Dante is a energy player and a volume shooter. It's difficult to have a volume shooter as your number two scorer. And watch who, if the Knicks, are they going to do it with balance? Are they going to do it where it is clearly Dante who becomes their second scorer? In the playoffs, you usually have a team built where you know this guy's number one, this guy's number two. Draw a line under there and say, how are they going to perform after that? The Knicks don't have that number two right now. They don't have that guy that you can underline. Now, it's got to be Dante. But the question is, how much scoring can he do in terms of volume shooting and in terms of being there game after game after game? Is his three-point shooting going to be there game after game after game? You know, you can live with him taking 10 threes, okay? But he's got to make some. Yesterday, as an example, he took 14 threes. Where the Knicks get their scoring from, other than Brunson, is going to be a critical factor in these playoffs. Critical. Especially if they play Miami. Oh, I'm going to wait to, because it's a whole different world playing against the Sixers, playing against Miami. So let's wait on that because, well, for obvious reasons, but let me wait to see who they play. And then we'll take it from there. There's different things that they have to face, and both of them are legitimate. how he's going to play this rotation, I don't see any way he's not going to use nine guys. I think he is. Okay. You're going to have input from Bogdanovich. We know that. You're going to have Achiuwa and McBride giving you minutes. They got to play. But they need contribution from Robinson. And if they don't get that, it's going to hurt them. It's going to hurt them on both sides of the floor. It's going to hurt them in terms of offensive rebounding, which is going to be critical for the Knicks, and it's going to hurt them as far as rim protector. He has to give them minutes here. We know that all three guys behind Brunson play critical roles. Dante has to give you energy. He's got to give you scoring. He has to in this team. In this situation, he's got to be able to hit threes. He's got to be able to give you energy. It's imperative. And he's got to be the number two scorer. He can play minutes. He'll log minutes. And yesterday, as an example, played 52 minutes. You know what Hart gives you. You know what he brings. There'll be games he scores. There'll be games he won't score. There can't be games he doesn't rebound. There can be games he doesn't score. And OG is critical in how valuable he is and what he gives you in defensive versatility and as a defensive stopper. Critical. And I think his scoring will be a bigger factor in the postseason than you think. I think that's going to be a key that you'll get more scoring from him in the postseason than you think you will. But they have got to get contributions from all nine players. And if Robinson's not able to do that, that's going to be a big problem. It's not a good thing. It's going to hurt them. They need him. OG, who's been out a lot, is critical. They need him, and they need what he brings defensively. I mean, there's nobody he can't guard. Nobody. But remember, they're going to make it much harder on Brunson to score in the postseason. Much harder. They are going to look to take him away and make you go to a secondary or tertiary option. It's going to be critical that those are there and that you can count on them. You can see situations where the Knicks will be looking. Now you say, hey, they become a different team with this rotation, with these players. All true. But the playoffs are a different animal. A completely different animal. And because a guy makes shots in the regular season doesn't mean he's going to make them in the postseason. There's a different level of defensive dedication. There is also a lot more that goes into it because you are building a strategy for one team. You are making adjustments to that same team, and the adjustments made after game one of NBA playoffs is enormous. But you know what? It's a great time. The Knicks have a lead guard who is taking them on a ride here in the postseason. They're a number two seed. Great expectations. A lot of fun. And can't wait for it to get underway. And as soon as we know it's Saturday at the Garden, we don't know the opponent yet, obviously. As soon as we know, we'll obviously break it down and go from there. There's no reason to go through both teams. We'll wait till we know who they're playing, and then we'll take it from there. But it's going to be, you know, it's been a wonderful season. Brunson's performance has been to the moon. He deserves everything he gets. But give give the head coach credit. You know, a lot of people detract. He doesn't know anything about offense. Hey, they've done some things offensively that have worked for them. They're better offensively than people think. But now it's a whole different deal in the postseason. And we have to look at it game by game and how it goes here. And you can see that there's some things that are set up that could make the Knicks struggle. And we'll see how they match up as soon as we, you know, get their opponent. We take it from there. But it's a great time with a lot of excitement and everything else. And let's be honest. I know everyone thinks the Celtics, you know, are the best team by a lot. I think the whole thing is more wide open than usual. You know, the NBA usually isn't very wide open. This is a pretty wide open NBA right now. It really is. It's going to be interesting. You're going to get some surprises along the way. I don't think there's any question about it. Now, we're closing in on the NFL draft. And like I said, I don't remember a draft where there's been more intrigue, more discussion. And I'm trying to remember, go back and think about before the draft that yielded the trade that sent Eli to the Giants. And I remember the week before and how much was going on. And there was a lot going on. And there was a lot of talk about the quarterbacks, and there was a lot going on, a lot of intrigue and everything else. This, now remember, we don't have the first pick involved in any of this intrigue because we all know what's going to happen there. We all know what's going to happen, who's going to get picked and everything else, okay? Williams has been going number one the whole time, and I laughed when I heard anybody try to make a case that somebody else was going number one or that the Bears weren't going to pick him. I mean, they were picking him the whole time. There's never been, and this kid's been going number one for a very long time. Do I consider him? You've heard a lot of people say he's the best prospect since Luck. I don't consider him the automatic that Luck is. I know I was a big Luck guy in college and in the pros. And I think Luck would have been one of the great quarterbacks of the generation if he had stayed healthy. I think you saw that coming. And he gave you glimpses of it before he left. More than glimpses. This kid's got a lot of talent. I don't think he's as given as a person as Luck was. I think Luck was automatic. You know, you knew about Luck. You knew about his, everything about him was just right. You knew how smart he was. You knew he came from a football family. You knew that his father was a quarterback. You know, his father was a Rhodes Scholar. You know, the whole thing. It was all there. This kid has some quirky things. There's no question about it. But he's got a lot of talent. A lot of talent. And it's going to be very interesting to see as he develops and where we go from there, which quarterback is going to. I mean, we could, nothing has stopped. I mean, you have stories every day with somebody else going number two. Does that mean Washington has changed their mind? No. Do I think they have zeroed in on a guy? I do, yes. I think that guy will be Daniels. I'd be surprised if it's not. Now, maybe they've been leading everybody in a different direction, but I don't see why. And the question is, who's going to trade up? What are the 3 and 4 teams going to do with their pick? They're going to keep it. They're going to trade it. And how fast does Harrison go off the board? Does he break the quarterback chain, or does the quarterback chain go 4 deep before we get to Harrison? as I told you from the beginning, I think the four quarterbacks and Harrison will be off the board by five. I think no matter what teams are involved, no matter what team gets up there to trade with the Pats or trade with Arizona, I think the four quarterbacks and Harrison are gone after five picks. I would be very surprised if that's not the case. I don't think there's any chance Harrison's on the board. If there's a stunner, I would think it would be that one of the quarterbacks is still on the board. But I don't think that's possible because there's teams trading in that want to trade in and get these quarterbacks. So I don't think that will happen either. I do think that everything points to the four quarterbacks and Harrison going off. And then the question is, where we go from there? Like I said, there's three veins of talent here. There's the quarterbacks, which is going to get hit first. There's the wide receivers who are going to get hit second. And then there's the offensive tackles who are going to get hit third. In between there, could you have a player or two? You could have an edge rusher go before all the tackles and quarterbacks go. And you could have the tight end go before that happens. A lot of people feel the Jets are going to be faced with tackle or taking Bowers. I do not in any way knock Bowers. Bowers, I think, is going to be... I loved Kincaid last year. Kincaid did everything I thought he would do, and I think Bowers is better. So I think he's going to be a wonderful player. I don't have any doubt in that. But I think if it's the Jets, and if all the tackles are on the board, then they have to go tackle. And I think if, unless two of them are off the board, what I think are taking the tight end there. And I don't think both tackles could be off the board before then. I don't think it could happen. Now, there's four tackles. I like two. Alt's first, and I don't expect him to be there. If he's there, they just have to take him. But I think he's going to go to Tennessee. But if he is there, if that happens and he's there, then I think they have to take him. I think he's going to be a fixture for a long time. I think there's sometimes where there's a no-brainer. I think that guy's a no-brainer in a lot of ways. You know, family, everything, backgrounds, and size, and talents, and everything else, but also everything about him. You know, reminds me of some of these other guys who've come in whose fathers have been good players and have stepped right in and become very good players. And I think he's another one who's going to be in that same vein, do the same thing. His father was a very good player and very stable, solid player. And I think that you're going to get the same thing out of him for a very long time, which makes him, I think, a no-brainer. But again, I think that would be a home run if he was on the board at 10. I don't think he will be. And I do think the Giants will not shock the world, and I think they will take a wide receiver. And I think there's three wide receivers going before 10, and those are obviously, we know who the three of them are. We've talked about them ad infinitum. But the intrigue around the quarterbacks and who is going to be making moves and what these teams are going to do, trade in, not trade in, trade out, not trade out, take the wide receiver, take the quarterback. You know what? The first two teams are going quarterback. We know that. The third team, the fourth team, we don't know what they're doing. And the options are wide open for both of them. Those are going to set up the draft, what happens at 3 and 4. We know 1-2 is going to be quarterbacks. That's not going to be any issue. After that, it's going to be what happens at 3 and 4. And that will impact greatly what happens at 5. And right through The Giants and the Jets. So there's plenty there. There really is. And there is, you know, it's a very, very deep draft. There's a lot of players in this draft. I mean, there's a lot of guys that you like in this draft, especially if you're looking for wide receivers, especially if you're looking for tackles. There might not be that many good defensive edge players in this draft. There's a lot of good offensive players in this draft, especially you're going to have probably, I'm not sure what's going to happen to Knicks and Penix. I don't know what's going to happen to them. I don't know if they're going to go low one, high two, maybe even higher than that. I think it's going to be Knicks first, and I actually could see him going off the board before 15. I think it's possible. And then I think Penix is going to be somewhere around the bottom of the round or right around the beginning of the second round, right around there. And then you'll have probably a little drop-off before we get to the next quarterback, which would probably be the South Carolina and Tulane quarterbacks would probably be the next two right off after the big six. You want to call it four, then two, if you were looking at it that way. That's pretty much how it stacks up, you know. And they're always at a premium, but the four are going off, and the intrigue around the Michigan quarterback is a lot. I mean, I don't get a chance to have the up close and personal with this kid, but what I've watched from him playing college football, I never thought he was that good. I thought he was okay. I didn't love him. Now, I don't, I'm not talking about his temperament. I'm not talking about him as a field general, as a leader. I was talking about him as just as a thrower. I don't really love him. So the intrigue in this draft will be fascinating. There'll be a lot to talk about. I mean, even some of the, if you look at mock drafts, and you could go blind looking at all the different mock drafts, but I mean, there has been even talk of McCarthy going two. So if that happens, and in those scenarios, they have May falling, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. That Daniels goes quickly after that, and after that, May falls down into the, you know, 10 area right around there where somebody trades in there and gets them. So, I mean, we've seen just about everything. The one thing that we can go with is that we know Williams is going one and the quarterback is going two. The question is which one. I thought it would be Daniels all along. We'll see if it's not. If it's not, he backs down to three, and then we'll see how far May goes from there. And then you have to deal with what happens with really premium talent like Harrison, all the other wide receivers, et cetera, in what should be a fascinating draft, which we'll do plenty of coverage of. We'll also have all the NBA for you later in the week. As soon as we have all the real matchups and we get the 1-8s and take it from there, we will have all the matchups for you and obviously a lot about the Knicks. And it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, the Garden hasn't been this alive in a very, very long time because this year there's a different sense, you know, especially with the Knicks being in the position they're in, but also just the feeling about this team and how much people have started to believe in this team and how popular this team and Brunson have become. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch this unfold. And right behind it, the Stanley Cup. Now, we'll put guys on who know a lot more hockey than I do because I need them for that. So we'll pop them up and get their perspective. But there's a lot of optimism here in the metropolitan area, especially surrounding the Rangers. So we'll see how that unfolds. And just this far into the baseball season, before we've even finished April, you know, the Mets have solidified things at least to where they're playing okay baseball. Lindor's got to get going. He got a couple of hits yesterday against a lefty. If he sees a couple more lefties, I mean, he's hitting 250 now, lefty. He's only been up a handful of times. he's hitting, you know, under 100 right-handed, and that has got to change and change quickly. I think it will. But, you know, it's amazing how much more superior he is a hitter right now from the right side than he is from the left side. Most switch hitters are better line drive hitters and better average hitters from the right side. A lot of them show more power that way because it's their natural side. But it's not usually as pronounced as this. This is incredibly pronounced right now for Lindor, and he's got to straighten himself out from the left side where he's not striking out that much, but he continues to hit these weak pop-ups and to uppercut the ball a lot and to not hit it with any velocity or, you know, any strength. It's been a very strange start for him. A player of that magnitude, you can see him getting off to a slow start. This has gotten to be a lengthy time, this slump. This is a long slump. There's no question, and it's going to take him a while to come out of it. And he can't let it play on his head because he plays every day, and he's just got to go out there and do his job. But he's got to get better from the left side in a hurry. As far as the Yankees, their start has been everything you could hope for. I still think there is issues there in their pitching, in their bullpen. I see some question marks that have to be dealt with, and also in the team's age, which have to be dealt with and watched. But you have to like everything about the balance and the length of the lineup now, and the maturation of Volpe, and of course the addition of what Soto brings is enormous. And Judge hasn't really revved it up yet. When he does, and you get Soto and him going together, they are going to be very, very tough to stop. I don't think there's any question. I think he's going to have a great season. The question is, where does he spend next season? But again, you know, enjoy this one in pinstripes before we get to the craziness of what could happen with him in the postseason. We'll see you in what will be a very busy week down the road.
Thanks for listening to the Mike Francesa podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.